Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Thanks so much for joining us. My next guest is Dr. Wally Houck, and we're going to talk about helping leaders to create engaged employees without bribes or threats. I think that's a very important topic, and I think he's probably tongue-in-cheek when he brings that one up. Dr. Houck, thanks for joining us, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bill. A pleasure to be here.
So it's really about
how
to get better performance without the typical reward, performance appraisals, things like that. How to just get more work and better work out of people, right?
That's correct. Yeah, where they're willing to do it. They want to do it. Not that you're not making them do it. They want to do it.
What a wonderful world that would be. Dr. Houck, tell us a little bit about your background and how you started looking into this and becoming an expert on this field.
Sure, thanks, Bill. I have 19 years experience in my own business in helping leaders to create engaged employees. My company name is Optimum Leadership. I believe that what we've been taught, what all of us have been taught as baby boomers especially, and it's continuing, is what I call leadership malpractice. We do things that we've been taught to do that we're told are correct. It causes problems and symptoms in our business, and then we're told we need to blame the people for the symptoms when it's really us. And this started for me. It started when I first got out of college. A couple of years out of college, I joined a company which no longer in existence, and they really taught me everything to do to be a manager that was wrong. And they did it not out of evil. They just did it because that was all they knew how to do. And one of the stories I often tell is about my performance review. I had a performance review. And I got a very good review because a couple of days before I had gotten a call from one of my clients. I was a new salesperson, about a year in. Got a call from one of my clients, $1 million, a new account. Oh my gosh! They put a couple of days later, they put me up on stage. They gave me an award, all based on this verbal. Now I didn't ask them to do it; they did it. This verbal order that I got. Of course, a couple of days later, guess what the client did? They called and they canceled the order. So I got called into the senior vice president who had handed me my award a couple of days previously, and he berated me for messing everything up and embarrassing him. And that's when I knew. All I was doing was what they taught me to. I was doing the best I knew how to do.
Uh-huh.
So I went from a hero to a bum in a very short period of time. And from that day on, I knew that there was something wrong here. And it took me a number of years later to figure it out. And so here I am today.
Wow. And you've written a couple books about the topic. I guess one of them is called Stop Leadership Malpractice Performance Appraisal. Is that right?
Yeah, how to replace the typical performance appraisal. I consider the typical performance appraisal is a policy that is outdated. It doesn't work. Everybody hates it, and we continue to do it. And we're continuing with that same model in our schools with our kids. And our teachers are now being rated by students and then given bonuses in order to improve education. The whole thing is going to collapse. It already has collapsed. It's all malpractice.
Mm-hmm. And then the other book is called, if I'm getting this right, I'm kind of looking at a hyperlink here, but Art Leading Predictable Performance. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, The Art of Leading.
Art of Leading, principles. Okay.
Yeah, The Art of Leading. Three principles
The Art of Leading.
For predictable for performance improvement. That's correct. Thank you.
Okay. So now we understand that things need to change and they have to change. What are some of the changes that need to take place?
Yeah, the first thing that has to change is the way we think about people and performance. The way we're taught to think about people and performance right now is that the answers are somehow in the evaluation of the parts of our system. So we're taught to evaluate the individuals in order to improve performance. The key shift that needs to happen is to stop thinking about improving the individuals and start thinking about improving the system. And I'll give you a very simple example. I attempt to live this every day in my life. About 4 years ago, well, I love Dunkin' Donuts coffee. There's a story in the book about Dunkin' Donuts coffee because I love Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and I stop every chance I get. And this one Dunkin' Donuts, and here's how I used to order. I used to order a large cream, no sugar. Now, about 10% of the time, guess what I get? I get sugar, which I can't drink. I don't want it. I have to throw the coffee out. I'm out $2, and I have no caffeine, and I'm cranky. Well, this one Dunkin' Donuts actually did this to me. I usually don't go back and get another coffee because I'm usually on my way. I'm going to be late if I can't go back. This one place did it to me twice in 1 week, so I was so angry. I called the client. I said, I'm going to be late. I got a problem. I'll be there in 10 minutes late. I was going to go back, drive back, yell at the clerk, attempt to get free coffee for the rest of my life from this place because I was so upset. By the time I drove back, I calmed down because I had to ask myself, what's the real root cause here? And the question that I like, that I want leaders to ask, there's a couple of questions I want leaders to ask. One is, is it a values issue? Is this a values issue or a systems issue? A values issue is a purposeful break in integrity, a lie, a disrespect, an unwillingness to focus on what the customer wants. Well, that's not what this was. This was an honest mistake. A mistake is a systems issue. So this is a systems issue, which means the clerk, I could yell at the clerk, but the clerk didn't do this on purpose. So I have to ask other questions. So the other questions that I ask leaders to ask when they find an issue, they ask, what is the process? What's the process that's broken here? Now, when you think about it, what process is broken? It's the order process. Well, what's the, and then I ask them to ask, what's the first 15% of the process that's broken? What's the first 15% of the beginning part of the order process? And of course, it's me ordering and saying the word sugar. I'm actually encouraging her to hear the word sugar when I don't want sugar. So I'm causing her to put sugar in. Yeah, sure, you can blame her. Yes, absolutely. Let's blame her for not listening carefully. But that's still going to probably, about 10% of the time I'm still going to get sugar, even if she's a good listener. So the real root cause is for me to change, and that's what I'm saying to leaders. If you really want to get rid of symptoms in your business, you have to start to ask, what is it that you're doing that's causing some of these symptoms? And one of the things they're doing that I assert they must stop doing is performance appraisals.
Hmm. It seems like these performance appraisals, like you're talking about, so many of them are so subjective, and they're based on guesses about performance and types of things. I mean, there's not clear outcomes. There's, you know, good, great, excellent, maybe as a ranking, but there's no real scoring system to get there. Is that part of the problem?
That's definitely part of the problem. The system is flawed, and very often what human resources people say is, well, if we just train the managers better, they'd be able to figure out exactly how to give accurate ratings. Well, that's not really true. In fact, think about this. I don't know, Bill, are you married? I don't mean to ask you personal questions on the air, but are you?
Not currently.
Not currently, okay. But let's say you have some relationship with somebody at home. So go to that person tonight. Here's what I'd like to ask you to do, see if this works. And the listeners can do this too. Go to your significant other tonight and say, hey, honey, you know, I was listening to this guy on the radio today. He said not to do performance appraisals. I think he was full of it, frankly. And he reminded me that tonight is a good time for me to give you your performance appraisal because I have some good ideas about how you could improve performance. So why don't we talk right after dinner? So do you think that would work?
I don't think that's going to go over real well with anyone.
So if it doesn't work at home, how can it work at work? It's just not going to. It's going to, and in fact, that's why the large majority of people dislike it, and it ties directly with what you said. It's very subjective. It's very subjective.
Well, from an employee standpoint, a lot of times performance review means an opportunity for increased compensation, though, right? It's kind of like Pavlovian response,
right?
Is, oh boy, I'm up for a raise or not.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's the bribe. That's the bribe. In fact, in your introduction with me today, you said, how do we have leadership without bribes? How do we create engagement without threats and bribes? And because that's a bribe. That's really what it is. It's a control technique. The manager's in control of your future. You better see how likely is that employee going to tell the truth about how upset they are, either with the manager or if the manager is actually making a mistake or practicing poor leadership. Is that employee going to speak up if the manager has the power to give them a raise or not give them a raise?
Well, that's a great point. That's a great point. But isn't it important today in this day and age to have to paper a file with some kind of an update? Because there's a lot of concern in the HR world that if we're not benchmarking how they're doing along the way, then all of a sudden we fire them because they've been having poor performance and we didn't document that, then we're setting ourselves up for problems.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have a great example. So let me give you an example. I agree. And here's how my process works, is you facilitate agreements with people and then you track to see if they're managing their agreements. If they break their agreements and they don't tell you that they've broken their agreements and they try to hide it, that goes in the file. All of that gets documented. And you don't have to wait for an annual review to do that. You can do that instantly. And when they break agreements, if they can't keep their agreements, what Dr. W. Edward Stemming says is that 94% of the probability is that there's something wrong in the process. Just like that, the clerk at Dunkin' Donuts, the nice lady at Dunkin' Donuts, she put sugar in. I could consider that she broke that agreement with me because I didn't want any sugar. But the real root cause was in my process, and that's where the root cause is. Now, for example, with you, and thank you for having me on your show, you have a very robust process to make because this is live, to make sure that your guest is on time. You have an amazingly robust process. I think it's, your assistant follows up. There's emails an hour before. There's emails 15 minutes before. There's reminders. There's a phone call. There's other stuff, too. You have a predictable process to help me keep my agreement. That's what organizations need to do. They don't need to evaluate people. They need to have a predictable, robust process to assist people to keep their agreements.
Oh, that's fascinating. So within that, would people read your book and then learn more about that? And would they consult with you on that, Dr. Hauck? Or how do people work with you on this? Or do they just get the wisdom from the book, obviously? But where do they start that process, Shane?
Yeah, they can go to my website. It's wallyhauck.com, wallyhauck.com. And the books do outline the process. I do consult with dozens of organizations right now on this. I help organizations to adopt this type of thinking and this type of system because this is not what we've been taught, and this is not what we're teaching our kids right now. We're teaching our kids the old model, which I assert we've outgrown, and we've got to stop teaching what we're teaching our kids and teach them a different model if they're going to operate effectively in the new knowledge age. Otherwise, they're going to be in trouble. Just like many organizations struggle with how to manage people. It's not managing people. It's manage process, lead people. You manage your dogs. You don't manage people. You let them manage themselves like they do when they go home. They manage themselves. Why can't they do that at work?
It's fascinating input. It's absolutely necessary in this day and age. And I really enjoyed speaking with you so much. So I'd love to have you back on and go deeper into these topics and learn more about some of these alternative techniques you're talking about. If you're a business owner, leadership group like Vistage International, you're looking for an interesting speaker, contact Dr. Wally Hauck and learn about this optimum leadership. It's something that your constituents could certainly benefit from. Dr. Hauck, how do they get in touch with you?
Thank you very much, Bill. It's wallyhauck.com, WallyHauck.com, or optimumleadership.com.
It's certainly a fascinating topic, and again, the books are called Stop Leadership Malpractice and The Art of Leadership. You'll find them on our show notes or on Amazon. On our show notes, we'll have links, hyperlinks to these books, so look for that in the interview if you're listening to it at our website, exitcoachradio.com. Dr. Hauck, thanks so much again for joining. It's been fascinating, and I really enjoyed our discussion.
Bill, I did too. Thank you so much. God bless you. Appreciate it.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this, so please stay with us. Does thinking about what will happen to your business if you're gone keep you awake at night? Will you get the price you need from your business to carry you through retirement? The BEI Network of Exit Planning Professionals is the world's leading advisor network with the power to help business owners transition out of business on their own timeline and terms. Ask your most trusted advisor to create a BEI plan for you or visit us at exitplanning.com. That's exitplanning.com.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.